This can't be happening. Oh, why am I being punished?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 6, Episode 24, Four Affairs and a Pregnancy. And now here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, listeners. Just a reminder, you still, barely, but you do still have time to tell us what show you think we should cover after Melrose Place. We're going to discuss your suggestions in a new special 2 weeks from today, so do not wait to make your voice heard. Leave a voicemail or send a text to our hotline. That's 210-920-4699. And you can also email us a voice memo at hello@againwiththispodcast.com. We definitely want to hear all your suggestions. They may not have the force of law, but get crazy with it. You just never know.
Absolutely. We also want to tell you what's happening on the Patreon this week. Episode 147, dropping June 9th, is going to be Let's Watch Brian Austin Green in Her Costly Affair. Who's the her? It's Bonnie Bedelia, you guys. Fooling around with a young Brian Austin Green. And based on the title, Bedeals. I think it does not go well for her.
So. No. I mean, it's Brian Austin Green.
Well, so that's on YouTube. We'll link it in the show notes to get all of that and so very much more. Join us at againwiththispodcast.com/club for so much archives. You will be shocked. Let's get into this episode, starting with our B plot. Sam and Billy still refuse to make any decisions.
Exhausting.
Pretending they are still a happy couple or ever were, Sam and Billy roll into the jazz club holding hands. But seconds after their arrival, he is at the bar, officially getting them drinks, but actually flirting with Jennifer. Clip two.
What can I get you?
I'm not sure what I want.
I could probably make a suggestion.
Well, two beers will do for now.
She turns around and stares at her butt.
Do you see something else you like?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I mean, her butt is great, and he still is not convincing.
No. Which is astonishing.
Yeah. And so, yet, totally unsurprising.
Well,
it's Billy.
True. So when Billy returns to Sam, filling the deafening silence between them by babbling about the wind, making it seem like anything could happen, he can't keep his eyes off Jennifer, who stares back in what is either a hostile or a seductive way. And honestly, I think we all know it's a fine line, particularly given that it's Billy.
Yeah.
And suddenly, he blurts to Sam that they should get out of there. And Sam still has not poured her entire beer into her glass even, but Billy just remembered he has an early meeting tomorrow and has to get to bed. And Sam looks back at Jennifer, who gives her a what the heck shrug that is very fake and very cute. You can see in the visual aids. Hours later, Billy is tying his shoes in bed when Sam wakes up and asks what's happening because he did not just slip out of bed and put on his shoes in the living room, but he claims he's going for a run despite his early meeting because he can't sleep. And completely unsuspicious, Sam rolls back over, relatable, as he leaves. And in the courtyard, we see Billy actually really is going for a run, even though Jennifer comes back from her shift at exactly that moment. And he still goes, leaving her dismayed. But there's no park big enough for Billy to run away from his problems. Besides which, Jennifer soon pulls up in her car to say she can't stay away from him and thinks he feels the same way. And he wrong faces that she's way off base, but then she smashes her hand on his lips and he is overcome with horniness. And she goes on, clip three.
I love you.
Don't say that.
I have to. I can't keep it inside anymore. We can't keep denying this.
I'm married.
No. This is so bad. Realism, Milano.
Oh my God. And then he like literally runs away from her and the scene, and it's It's Billy. What can you say?
Mongo mere pawn in the game of season-ending chessboard.
At the office, Sam is once again living my childhood dream with a million pencil crayons in her hands when Billy rolls in with a cheap-looking bouquet and a face that's like, this ought to hold a little SOB. Like, he looks like he's going to barf. And when she wonders what they're for, clip four.
I was thinking about you, and I wanted you to know that I love you.
Okay, look, I realize he's supposed to be acting unconvincing, but good God, like, there's a line, and he's on the wrong side.
Oh, God, I was thinking about you, and I wanted you to know that I love you. Listen, listen, listen. Do you know what your problem is? Your problem is that you're not a good actor. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That's when Amanda breezes in, loudly saying that when a man gives you flowers, it's because he's trying to get away with something or guilty about something he already got away with. Seldom wrong and right again, Ms. Woodward, with that.
Uh-huh.
Back at the office the next day, Sam has reapplied her lipstick when Billy asks her to lunch. She has a meeting. He'll drive her. She also has errands. So does he. They can carpool. She's like, no. Because, of course, the main errand Sam has to do is Jeff, and now they only have half an hour because of traffic. She's enjoying sneaking around, but he doesn't want nooners. He wants romance out in the open, as we know, because he also said it last week. And he adds that they don't have to have sex every time they see each other, so Sam has to pretend she's just as horny to talk. And so he then announces he's told his whole family about her, and she's aghast until he explains he just said she's great at softball and hugs her, and she does not look thrilled.
Great at softball?
Yeah. Well, it's because...
Meet my girlfriend. She's married to another lady. Okay, Jeff, what are you doing?
Well...
Oh, God.
There is a reason. It's because there is a big Baylor family picnic he has invited her to with a softball game, and she shows up very late. She tells Jeff she loves him, but she's scared to be seen with him in public suddenly, given how they were like trying to meld all four of their hands together at lunch last week. But that fear is why Jeff wanted to ease her into his world, but it doesn't seem so easy when a guy named Doug comes over and guesses Sam is the future Mrs. Baylor, and Jeff's like, shit. So Doug, having blown up Jeff's spot, gets way too excited, calling out to other relatives to come and meet Jeff's fiance, and Jeff leads Sam away, apologizing, which is when Jeff's mother runs into their path, like plotzing, because she's never seen Jeff so happy. And Sam tries to smile and roll with it, but then actually can't fake it and turns heel and walks in the opposite direction. And when Jeff chases after her, saying he didn't know they'd all be so mushy, Sam says hearing their whole deal described by his family makes it real. What's real, Jeff says, is that he loves Sam and wants her to be his wife. And lots of women would love him to propose, he thinks. So Sam tells him to go propose to one of them then, because she's not rushing into anything anymore like she rushed into marriage with Billy. Now she doesn't actually think she's fit to be married to anyone, but she is married to Billy and has to try to go salvage that now. Why? So that night she's standing in the apartment waiting for Billy to come home so she can start being a good wife for a change. But as soon as he comes into the courtyard, she watches Jennifer pull him aside. And so she sees but does not hear them have this exchange. Clip five.
I feel so bad about the other night.
I'm the one that couldn't deal with what you're saying. You know, I'm the one who ran away.
It's just we haven't seen each other since then, and I know that you've been avoiding me, and I'm terrified that my big mouth has wrecked our whole relationship.
No. Well, you have to understand, there is no way we can act on the feelings you were talking about.
No. Billy, I can't stand that. I know that you want me as much as I want you. I can feel it, so don't lie to me. I know I'm not imagining this.
I mean, I'm not sure she didn't hear that. Sam did not hear that kiss smacking because it was real loud. She definitely sees it. And so then after she reacts, we get back to the current cheaters as Jennifer tells Billy to come to her place later. He can't. She says he can pretend he's going for another midnight run so he can feel how much she loves him. And it seems like he's thinking about it when he lets himself in at his place, but Sam's waiting in the bedroom. Clip six.
Well, you're never home this early anymore.
Well, I'm here now, aren't I?
Oh, so you just decided to show up? I'm supposed to drop everything?
No, it's not like that.
What is it like then? You know, I can't figure it out. You're cold, you're never around, you're... What is this about?
Billy, I'm sorry. I know that I've been so distant from you lately and I've been so involved in work and so gone. Can you forgive me?
Of course I forgive you. It's nothing to forgive. I just hope that...
No, shut up.
Okay, this was your out. Like, you clearly like Jeff. Just let Billy be with Jennifer. Go be with Jeff. I don't understand this unless, like, they have not sufficiently, for my taste, established that what's driving her here is, like, wanting to win from Jennifer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, if that's even the case.
Yeah.
Either that or the writers are like, nothing that we write will work because it's Brooke Langton and it's Billy and no one cares. So maybe they're like, all right, well, let's just sort of get everything arranged and then maybe it'll work out in the season finale. Mm-hmm. I just don't care. And that Billy, after all of this, very obvious, like not making eye contact, refusing to go on errands with him, all of this, like it's so blatant. He's like, I don't understand what's going on. Like, then you shouldn't live on your own.
It's true.
Sorry, cognitive delays are real, and you need to find a productive group setting in which you will be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're Billy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where we leave these boobs for now. Let's move on to our A plot. Kyle and Amanda deal with issues old and new, and you'll never guess how Taylor gets snarled up with Michael again unless you have watched a soap before or read the episode title. Unfortunately, we open this one on Coop and Megan in bed. She is staring at him hard enough to wake him up, apparently, which is when she tells him about Michael having kissed her earlier. And though Coop offers, Megan does not want him to go fuck Michael up. Michael just did not want her to move. And because of him, this place, as in the complex, has become her family, which, like, okay,
run.
Well, that's A. B, Michael hasn't lived here since season two. This is a reach, but fine. So there's some blah, blah about the growth of the person that she's become, which lets us know she definitely does belong in L.A. But she has decided she loves Coop more than she pities Michael, so she will go wherever Coop does. And the head of the search committee is taking Coop for dinner at some hotel the next night. He would like her to come. And she suggests Kyle's because it's more intimate. Coop claims it's up to their host, but he can do intimate right now. And as he kisses on her, she stares off into space in Kelly Rutherford's usual unreadable way. Mm-hmm. Over to the clinic, Jennifer calls Michael. Their mother called her to find out how her investment's doing, and Michael does not lie about how bad everything is. Jennifer suggests that Megan might reconsider him if he gets his shit together, so he then mentions a suit against Peter and Coop that might take years to cash in on, which is the first we've heard about any attempt to sue them for pushing him out of the practice, but whatever. Mm-hmm. He goes on, clip seven.
Thing is, this clinic is worth a fortune on paper.
Michael, you're not thinking about fire insurance, are you?
You don't remember the cannoli explosion at Grandpa's bakery?
Yeah, only like it was yesterday.
Yeah, well, the proceeds from that policy got the family back on its feet again.
Yeah, but Michael, you don't have a defective pastry oven.
Well, there's more than one way to liquidate a business.
You know, Michael, get a clue. Okay, Megan's not interested in money. It's character she responds to. And I just hope you find some soon.
I'm just considering all my options.
Maybe don't consider them on the phone.
Just saying. Also, if you're going to burn down any business, start with the jazz club.
Yes. Because that would take good old Kyle's with it. Just saying. Mm-hmm. I would also add, I'm not an expert in business. putting in a pastry oven at the clinic. Maybe not the worst idea. Diversify. People like pastries.
And you say you're not an expert, Tara.
Okay, thank you. You're right, I am. Mm-hmm. The next morning, Jennifer pops in on Megan to harangue her about Michael. She's pretty sure the only thing that will prevent Michael from burning down the clinic for the insurance money is Megan telling him she still loves him. But clip it.
It's too late for that. I'm with Coop, and if everything works out, we're going back east together.
Well, I'm sold on the idea, given your obvious enthusiasm.
She is so blah. It is actually shocking. Like, my God. Jennifer has just put the burden of preventing flagrant insurance fraud on Megan and still flatline. Except that when Jennifer goes on about how desperate Megan's rejection has made Michael, she gives Jennifer that tiny little smug smile that is so hateful, and you can see it in the visual aids, because get a grip, please. Please.
Yeah.
I will at least give Megan credit as a character for holding firm to her boundaries, because when Jennifer says Megan can't desert Michael at a time like this, Megan counters, it's always a time like this, and she has her own shit, such as...
Yeah, true.
This dinner at the hotel where she used to work, and Jennifer then seizes on that in a real shitty way. Clip 9.
That is the life that Michael saved you from. Don't you owe him anything for that?
Ew. Gross. Gross.
Ew, writers. Ew. Like, that, I mean, whatever. We'll see where this is going. It's nowhere great, and ew on all of it.
Right.
I don't like Megan either, but Jesus.
Agree. And, like, the way the show framed it when she still was in that business, like, she wanted to leave sex work, and the way she talked about it was, like, not the way we should now or ever, but especially, like, we don't use those terms anymore. But it's one thing for her to say it. It's another thing for Jennifer to throw it in her face. But
yeah. And what is this, like, damsel fucking social hygiene film take?
Seriously. Ugh. Anyway, Megan's basically like, I have bailed Michael out of a dozen disasters since then. I have paid him back with interest. And Jennifer says Megan's the only thing Michael talks about. So doesn't she remember what it's like to love something you can't have? Which, like, he can't have her, and he should make his peace with that. But instead, Megan stupidly says she will see what she can do, because it's Megan. She's a doormat. And when Amanda arrives at work later, Peter's in her office waiting to pounce on her and apologize for ditching her the night before. She's over it. He would like to take her for dinner that night with Lexi, and obviously Amanda passes, because who wouldn't? It's Lexi.
Yeah.
And when she dismisses him, he instead sits down to argue about it. So she says she'll go on the condition that he not bug her about her life choices. So, of course, he says the reservation is at Kyle's. And she bites his head off. So Peter pretends he had no larger motive in choosing that place than liking the food. But he'll have to call Lexi to pick somewhere else. And she's out riding. So Amanda says Kyle's is fine. And Peter takes off before she changes her mind again. And speaking of Lexi riding in the paddock or whatever, she runs into a dude played by Anthony Tyler Quinn, who played the season 3 detective who arrested Jane for running over Michael when Kimberly framed her.
In the worst named episode of all time, I Am Curious Melrose.
Thank you.
Never forget.
So now he's Rory, and he knows Lexi from Cleveland well enough to hope her being in LA means she got rid of Coop. By the way, and you can see this in the visual aids, she has her hair in like a little net over her ponytail. Is this a riding thing? She's not wearing a helmet.
I mean, she, like, if you are performing in dressage, I think that's considered standard, but you would also have like a top hat reinforced usually, or the riding helmet, and like an ascot and the whole rig. So I don't see why you would bother with only the hairnet. Maybe that was a Jamie Lunar affectation. At least they finally dealt with her roots, which were getting kind of avant-garde. Yikes.
Yes. So she updates Rory on her and Coop's status, and Rory lets us know he tried and failed to hook up with Lexi at some prior point himself. He is now also divorced, having gotten a big settlement out of it, so he's, to put it the way Elaine did, one of those bounders. And at Kyle's that night, Peter and Lexi are normal, and Amanda's like a sullen teen. Who can blame her? Enter Rory, of whom Peter is immediately suspicious. Lexi invited him, and since they're already on their entrees, on top of being a bounder, Rory is also rude, but Lexi makes introductions. Clip 10.
Hey, Peter, Amanda, this is my old friend, Roy Blake.
Of the Cleveland Blakes.
Peter Burns, the Canadian Mounties.
Okay. I feel like that was an ad lib that they just didn't bother cutting, and I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm. It's also funny because I think he's at least on a show with Mounties. I certainly have not watched When Calls the Heart. I think he's a mayor or something, but there are Mounties on it. Don't think he's one of them. Anyway. rude of the show to give this guy who Lexi's going to have to talk about a name that Jamie Lunar cannot pronounce. His name is not Roy, ma'am. This is Roy / Rory Randolph all over again with another mush mouth we love.
I was just going to say, Shando. Shunt.
Shunt.
There's too many letters. I am not a crackpot.
Mm-mm. So when Lexi moves on to job titles, Rory immediately starts being insufferably full of shit. Clip 11.
I love the advertising metaphor, the way it creates its own reality with words and pictures.
And a lot of smooth talking, huh?
Absolutely. Advertising is the bedrock of human interaction. I mean, we all do it. In personal relationships, in business. Some of us just do it better than others. Some of us have more to work with.
Rory's a connoisseur of quality merchandise.
Well, I just love a good show. I mean, take this place, for example. Warm setting, expensive artwork. The illusion it creates justifies the pricey menu.
Maybe. But this place stays open because the menu was created by a great chef, who also happens to be a great guy.
Oh. Nope. Here, give me a break.
As long as he has a great wine list, he's got my vote. I just closed the deal today, so I'm going to have a glass of champagne to celebrate.
Make it a bottle and I'll join you.
Waiter, bottle of your best champagne.
Oh, a deal, is it? Closed it? Mm. Did you? Sure.
Deal, 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 deal.
Over to the clinic where Michael is committing insurance fraud with some alcohol and a Bunsen burner, or rather, attempting it. And why would a walk-in clinic need a Bunsen burner? By the way, it's not a lab, but fine.
Mm.
He is about to light the alcohol when Father Maldonado, to whom Megan made Michael give all spiders money a few episodes ago, enters and immediately sizes up the situation. But turns out he knows a doctor who wants to practice in the neighborhood, and he wants to use the money that Michael donated to set this doctor up. Michael is thrilled to accept such an offer, and Father Maldonado says Michael should consider it a gift from his guardian angel. Back to Kyle's, where Amanda is ready to turn up, but Lexi and Peter want to leave. Rory will stay with Amanda, but that's when Kyle, who has somehow remained off screen until now, shows up to hassle Amanda. He actually, like, physically pulls her chair out to talk to him, and which is A, rude, but B, gives us a great reaction for her, where she's like, oh, whoop-de-doo, which you can see in the visual aids. Everyone watches as Kyle leads Amanda off by, guess what? The arm. Commenting that she seems to have had a few, and she's like, whatever. So he announces he's going to Dallas to find Nick. Nick's landlord told Kyle that Nick left 5 weeks ago, coinciding exactly with Christine's arrival in LA. And Kyle wants to figure out what was going on, but unlike him, Amanda knows when to cut her losses. When she tries to stomp off, he stops her to say he loves her, and she slaps him. And clip 12.
This is not about love. It's about two dead women, Christine and me. And I killed us both.
Ooh.
Calm down.
Well, she sells it, I think.
Yeah.
Being drunk helps. The next morning, Michael descends upon Megan at her place and smashes a huge kiss on her, saying he knows she was the one behind Father Maldonado's offer and she shouldn't bother trying to deny it. She wouldn't have done it if she didn't love him, he thinks. She says she used to love him and she went to Father Maldonado in honor of that. Michael's happy to start there, and now that he's financially secure again, he would like to show her what kind of guy he is. She knows, which is why she intervened before he committed arson. Michael blows past that. He was going to use the money from the sale to sue Coop, but that's the old Michael. Now he thinks the money can be a nest egg for him and Megan to start over. She is starting over with Coop and moving with him if he gets this job. Speaking of which, per the episode timeline, that dinner was supposed to have been last night, but anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The clinic sale was her goodbye present to Michael, so goodbye. And Michael leaves, but it's pretty clear this is not goodbye, actually. And In the hospital parking lot, Peter asks Coop what he knows about Rory. Coop calls him a bad seed, and Peter agrees he's an empty rattle, which, like, okay, 30 slang, like, what?
I know. 23 skidoo.
Coop backstories that Rory dated Coop's sister, which, please God, may we never meet anyone in the extended Coop family. I don't care. I don't want to know who this person is. Do not bring her on.
Yeah, I don't either. But who would they catch? Like, who is more boring and bad at this than Coop?
Oh, my God.
And Jamie Lunar is already on the show, so...
Yeah, I was about to say that broad from Suddenly Susan that we were meet about, but she's on Suddenly Susan at this point in history, so couldn't have been her. Hear more about that in the Patreon, guys. After dating Coopette, Rory dumped her for the broad that he just got rich divorcing. So Peter's worried that Rory's going after Amanda next, but Coop thinks she can take care of herself and is right for once, I hope.
Mm.
Speaking of Amanda, she's in her office briskly sending some underling on an errand, and this extra makes the most of her screen time with a huge eye roll on her way out.
It's really amazing.
It is. She goes right past Rory, who's arriving with roses. He is also in a dumb outfit. It's like a Starfleet Next Generation era, like, it has a color block, sort of greenish chartreuse stripe across the top, but then
it's
with a jacket over it. Anyway, he wanted to say he had a great time with her last night. Amanda is not welcoming, but he ignores her, just like Peter did earlier, hassling her about overwork. Working hard keeps her mind off things, she says, but maybe she needs different things to keep her mind off. She gets a work call and asks Rory again to leave, and as the score gets alarmed, he tells her to put the roses in some water because there's nothing worse than seeing something beautiful wilt because nobody cares. And she's like, close the door behind you. But he'll be back, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
In Father Maldonado's office, he and Michael finalize the clinic deal. But wait, this check's only for $10,000, and it's made out to Wallace Mancini, which, oh my God, that really was his uncle's name when he said it before as, like, amazing. WM whatever on the cereal tag. Hilarious.
Amazing.
Jennifer told Father Maldonado that the whole family invested in the clinic, but Michael assures the priest he can give Michael the whole amount and Michael will make sure it's repaid, LOL. So Father Maldonado himself is already laughing at that when Jennifer enters, explaining the deal that she and the priest struck, which is all the Mancinis are getting back their principal plus 5%. She is there to make sure Michael does not try to steal it. And Father Maldonado feels Michael must be pure of heart to have so many guardian angels, which is when Jennifer hands Michael his check for $730, which this was a detour we took for no reason, the whole clinic thing. Also, is Nurse Amy getting her money back? Because I didn't hear her mentioned at all. Just saying.
Seriously. Ugh. But, I mean, A plus to Jennifer and Father Maldonado, who is like about to start laughing in Michael's face throughout all of their scenes together. Yep. And fair.
Totally. Finally, it's time for the fucking hotel dinner with Dr. George Lerner from Philadelphia. He is played by Hall of Fame Hey It's That Guy, Cliff DeYoung.
Mm-hmm.
When you see him in the visual aids, you'll be like, oh, that guy. Which is why we say that. But, our audience may know him
the
best.
Dad from Secret Admirer was the one that I the one that I landed on. But your mileage may vary.
Robin Tunney's dad in The Craft was mine. But I'm sure he's a different one for every generation. He presumes Megan is Mrs. Cooper. She and Coop correct him. Coop joking that he hopes it's not a problem for Lerner's East Coast sensibility, which is like, why is this plotline acting like the differences between the coasts are the same as they were in, like, Deadwood times? Because I don't get it. Yeah.
Also, living in sin, like, this is something that we had stopped hiding from my very conservative grandmother in the 80s. So, who wrote this? Amy Semple McPherson? Settle down.
So, Lerner assures them it is the 90s, even in Philadelphia. Megan's going to the can when a hotel manager grabs her by the arm, what else, and says he hasn't seen her in a while, but if she's working there again, he gets 10%, he picks the room. She's not, so he should get his mitts off her. Again, mitts. Okay. Again.
Yeah.
30s. But he's watching her, and so is Lerner from the other end of the room. In Dallas, Nick's landlady, says he cleaned the place out before he left. He did not really get phone calls or have friends over, but the landlady does remember some tart who said she was a sister, which the landlady did not believe. Kyle shows her a photo of Christine, but it wasn't her. Clip 13.
The woman Nick was with had short brown hair, big eyes, kind of pouty lips.
Taylor.
Also, and you'll see this in the visual aids, we need to talk about how the landlady is basically wearing the mom's outfit from A Christmas Story.
Uh-huh.
Like, why is this whole episode in the 30s? She's got this like Dust Bowl smock apron situation on and the color that is no color,
yes,
brown cardigan. Like, why? When? Is it places in the heart?
Yeah.
Why? Who cares?
Well,
moving on.
They're in Dallas. It's not a stylish place. You know, it's not like there's a whole fucking soap opera set there.
Yeah.
But yeah, describing Taylor as like kind of pouty lips. Yeah, they're kind of pouty.
Yeah, kind of.
Just a little.
just lead with that. And then it takes him a beat to be like, Taylor.
Right.
Like, oh, you think? Bonehead.
At the hospital the next day, we join Peter as he wraps up his positive reference for Coop to Lerner. Michael's in the doorway in time to hear Lerner say where he's staying if Peter thinks of anything else. And then Peter tells a nosy Michael who he is. Peter can't believe Coop just came to town, made them accommodate him at the practice, and now is ditching them without a thought, which, like, about that, if Coop does go, Michael says, he would let Peter take him back at the practice. Or if he doesn't, Michael will sue Peter's pants off. Yes, sue each other's pants off, in my opinion.
Let us watch.
Yes. But Peter dares Michael too, since getting rid of Michael is the one good thing Coop ever did for him. And that's when Lexi enters, purring that Coop did other good things for Peter. Debatable.
Ew. Dude, let us watch.
Yeah. Michael stalks out just in time to run into Taylor. She needs him to examine her again because she's still feeling dizzy. Michael says she was born dizzy. She is trying to start over in life, so she wants to make sure she has her health. Elsewhere in the hall, Peter makes sure Lexi did not bring Rory into Amanda's life to sabotage it. Lexi thought they were staying out of Amanda's life. Here's who's not staying out of Amanda's life. Rory. He intrudes on her at work again. She firmly tells him she's swamped, but he asks her to come to the racetrack with him anyway. He just bought a thoroughbred, and he wanted her thoughts on hiring it out for horse modeling. LOLs.
My God.
She tells him to set up a meeting, but it has to be now because the horse is about to go to Kentucky. And when he tries to pull her to the door by the arm, she tells him she said no, and he tries to neg her. Clip 14.
You don't like guys like me, do you? I'm just a little too smooth, a little too manicured. Just a pretty boy who's looking to party.
Yeah, what is it?
Yeah, man, it's Kyle. I'm back from Dallas. And before you hang up on me, I've got some interesting news that I found there.
Nothing about you or anything you have to say interests me. You know something? Right now, you're just perfect.
Oh, Amanda, get a grip!
Seriously, him?
It could not be more obvious he's bad news.
Yeah. Like, he's, I mean, this is literally, like, the pickup artist in another human form.
Yes. He's the caliber for Lexi to fall for, or Megan, not Amanda. Yep. Sorry.
Yep.
At the jazz club, Kyle recaps Taylor's storyline to Jennifer, including the violence he would like to enact upon her. Jennifer wisely points out that Taylor will probably spill everything if Kyle is just a tiny bit nice to her.
Mm-hmm.
At the stable, Rory suggests that he and Amanda continue hanging out after their horse business. And when the stable hand holds the door open for Amanda, he snaps at Rory for being late because this totally is not Rory's horse at all. Oh, my God. Hope you guys were sitting down. Turns out Amanda knows about horses and that it was dumb of Rory to buy one that didn't have a track record. But he just uses his description of the horse to flirt with Amanda. Great legs, frisky, etc. Also, he claims he named the horse Amanda. She tells him she is married and has a complicated life. Rory is uncomplicated. She'll go along for the ride, but he should give the horse another name. Good advice.
True.
At Kyle's. Michael tells Taylor her tests earlier didn't show anything. Kyle then joins her at the bar and starts expressing gentle concern for her. She's been working hard and no one's offered to help. Kyle's sorry. He would like to take her up the coast to check out a restaurant tomorrow. And she immediately melts because it'll be just like old times. And later, Kyle's heading out of the courtyard as Rory and Amanda come back. Kyle harasses her about ignoring his calls, but she does not care and also does not defend herself when Kyle asks if she and Rory are dating. And Rory backs her up. And Kyle presses and Amanda sends him home. Rory excuses himself before Kyle rips his actual head off because he knows what's up. He's done this before. And Amanda asks if it makes Kyle feel macho to have scared Rory away, but Kyle's just sad to see what Amanda's turning into. And she tries to walk off, so he grabs her by the arm, yells that she should have the courtesy to listen to him, and eventually, virtually everyone who still lives in the complex comes out at the sound of Kyle's bellowing and eavesdrops on the end of the fight. Clip 15.
I have heard it all, and I'm sick of going over it. Can't you get it through your thick skull that we're broken up?
No, you've broken up. I haven't broken up.
Fine, I'll date whoever I want.
You know what? I would date, but I haven't forgotten that I'm married. See, vows mean something to me. I made a commitment to you. For better or worse, I made a promise. And what an idiot I am, I keep trying to keep it.
Take a hint? Like,
yeah.
She's been
also,
pretty clear.
You fucking cheated on Jennifer, and Taylor dragged you out there to look for Peter. Like, get... What's with this white knight routine? You actually just landed on your head a bunch of times during the war. Yeah, go away.
Well, he does, at least for now. He stalks out, and that's when Amanda sees everyone watching her judgmentally and realizes Kyle is right. She has become something awful. Whatever. The next day, we rejoin Kyle and Taylor as they leave the Up the Coast restaurant. Remember how she was dizzy before? Well, now she's maybe car sick.
I'm sure that's it.
Kyle thinks she'll be fine after some fresh air, and she asks why he's being so nice to her all of a sudden. Well, why is she being so cynical? He asks. He doesn't know if she heard about the fight the other night, but he and Amanda are finished now, for real. He needs someone to talk to. Not a heavy romance, just someone to lean on. She can handle that, and she's feeling better already. Over to the bar at the Scandalous Hotel, where Michael meets Lerner to talk a bunch of shit about Coop and try to sink his chances at the job. Lerner doesn't believe Michael's claim that Coop is bad news, given all his other great recommendations, but everything that Michael tells Lerner is actually true. Coop did get arrested after attacking Michael, and he did fool around with two of his coma patients, one of whom he's still dating, and she's had a long career as a call girl, which, man, you didn't have to bring her into this, but... Lerner's.
Yeah. Well, they're both Michael's ex-wives. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe Coop has some problems.
Perhaps. But Lerner is titillated, and when he asks if Megan is still a sex worker, Michael says she is, and Lerner will take all of this under advisement. And that night, Megan and Coop see Lerner off with one last drink at the hotel. He is still impressed by Coop's resume, although he knows that Coop has had some personal problems, but who hasn't? And Coop's like, wait, what have you heard? Lerner doesn't want to get into it, saying that Coop is one of their top three candidates. And Megan is happy about that. Coop still wants to know what Lerner's talking about, and Lerner still doesn't want to repeat it. And he will be in touch soon to schedule Coop's last interview. When Coop reluctantly drops it for now and goes to pay the bill, Megan shakes Lerner's hand again, and this happens. Clip 16.
You know, I've only met you a couple of times, but I feel as if I know you so well.
Well, I'm sure we'll all get to know each other much better soon.
Not soon enough.
Yeah. Seems like Dr. Cliff DeYoung might have a bourbon problem of his own. He's pounding those flat root beers on the rocks pretty hard in all of his scenes. So gross.
Yeah. Also, I suppose it goes without saying, but there is an arm grab in the scene as well as a creepy kiss. So
sure is.
And then we're in the kitchen at Kyle's that night, where Michael finds Taylor and stops in his update on Megan to notice that she looks jubilant. Well, things are getting back on track with Kyle, she thinks. Morality's really working out for her. Michael asks how her health insurance is. She starts spinning out about her concussion, but guys, you're not going to believe this. She's pregnant.
What?
I know.
No.
And then she flips out because she doesn't know who the father is. past due start listing them. Clip 17.
There's Kyle.
Yeah, who else?
Well, there's Nick.
You slept with Nick?
Well, yes, just once, and it was kind of an accident. And we did use protection.
Yeah, well, protection isn't always 100% safe, you know.
Well, then you're on the list too, Michael.
I was kind of hoping you didn't remember that.
You were drunk yourself. Pretty damn grateful, if I recall. You'd just been kicked out of your job, and Megan had just left you, and you're pretty hot for me.
I know. It's just, I was hoping.
Michael, what am I gonna do? Do you think this could be a good thing?
Did they fucking just retcon the two of these fucking villains having had sex before all of this stuff with Nick even occurred? Completely off screen?
That's what my note said. I just assumed that we actually saw it and/or heard about it, and I just forgot because Taylor is so annoying and schemey that I can't keep her shit straight.
No.
But I think you're right. I think this actually, they're just like, oh, well, but this is how we're going to do this now, because right. The season finale is in like two episodes. Okay.
Right. And they might have had to like do some fancy footwork because Lisa Rinna is pregnant for real. This is why we're seeing her behind a lot of bags and sitting down and behind things, because she's already definitely starting to show. But yeah, like adding him to the list just for the drama of it is, come on, like, let's be real. You can't just do that.
Well, and I mean, bring back Nick. I was enjoying his chaotic, evil energy.
Yeah.
In the show, and on the second time around. I couldn't wait to get rid of him the first time, but now it's like, oh, bye.
Yeah. And that's it for the episode. Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP.
I mean, Jennifer, I think?
Yeah. I was going to say,
I know it's Billy, but yes. As written, this is what she wants. So A+. Plus, she looks cute and she gives Kyle really good advice, which is like, just start being nice to Taylor and then she'll flip. So good job.
Well, that plus done. She also gets all of her family's money back, possibly at Nurse Amy's expense. But that's why I'm going with Father Maldonado, because he actually is doing the altruism that Michael claimed fraudulently this whole time was his motivation for opening the clinic. So good job to him and good job to the doctor we're never going to meet.
Yeah. Well done, Padre.
Least valuable player. Learner, because he's creepy. Just because a woman is, as far as you know, a sex worker doesn't mean you just get to come on to her willy-nilly, as it were.
Yeah, agree. Next time on Again With This, Coop and Megan hit Philly, where Dr. Larner hits on Megan some more. Billy hits Jeff. Amanda wants to hit Reno so she can hit the sheets with Rory. Peter and Michael should have hit MapQuest before wandering off on their brocation. And season 6, finally, it's the bricks. You should take a double hit of Visine before 90s-ing out with our visual aids. They're at againwiththispodcast.com, and they're available for every episode of this podcast. We are on Twitter at AWT90210. You can email us, hello@againwiththispodcast.com. You can call or text us, 210-920-HO-99, and you'll get extra episodes and access to our Discord at againwiththispodcast.com/club. We appreciate your financial support and also your emotional support. I am your best champagne, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Canadian Mountie, Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, is never home this early. Talk to you next time.
You better put in your diaphragm.
Oh, damn.